I picked that?
Yeah, no, it's fair. I guess.
Well, when you provide your speaker bio, sir, then that is the speaker bio I read.
All right, yeah.
I know,
yeah,
right? Yeah.
I fucked up.
I'm thorough. And with that, may we give our formal welcome to Toby.
All right. Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me. So today, what I want to talk about is not the CRA. That's for tomorrow. Today, what I want to talk about is governance for software engineers. And what I mean by this is a lot of us, at some point, a project grows to a certain size, and then we have to start thinking about governance, how to organize the work of that project. And I have ended up doing a lot of this, and it's sometimes like quite a stretch for folks who are developers and engineers at first to get into that world of like governance and figure out how to do it in a way that's intuitive and like close to the practices that we already have. And so the idea of this talk is to show that like it's not a different world where you just have to blindly sort of like copy paste what others are doing, but it's actually quite close to coding. And there's lots of like good practices that are really, really normal for us to do when we code that really apply to governance too. And essentially what I'm trying to do here is to get people to write better, more maintainable governance, just like we try to write better, more maintainable code. So that's kind of the background. And so we're going to do two things, split up in two parts. First part is we're really going to talk about what is governance, because like so many people, when they talk about governance, mean completely different things and don't realize that they're talking about completely different things until like halfway through like the conversation is finished. And so we're going to talk about what it means for open source projects. And so what I really mean is governance for open source projects. And then in the second part, we'll actually like give you some really basic, a basic framework that I think works really well and that I encourage projects to use rather than a whole bunch of like much larger things. So yeah, you've heard about who I am already. So I ended up, as I was saying, doing a lot of like governance-y things in around open source. But yeah, anyway. So what is governance? So here, three things. First, we're gonna build a working definition of open source governance. And then I want to talk about delegation of authority as a concept. I think it's something that we don't talk about enough. And it's like, if you actually understand this, like it's a super great tool to understand not only how open source works and software works, but like more broadly, the world. And then what I want to talk about, third point is governance is bounded, and we'll get into what I mean by this. So here's a working definition of what governance is. Again, for open source projects. So for me, governance is the formalization of implicit norms and culture in order to scale collaboration, right? And there's a lot in this, and so we're going to unpack it. You know, the first part is about scaling collaboration. That's the first thing that I find really important about governance. And that's important because you only start to need governance after a certain size. The mistake a lot of projects do is to want to formalize a bunch of things way too early, and that's usually not a good idea at all. You want to wait until you actually feel the pain of not enough governance to start adding governance, right? And really the purpose of governance is to, I'll say this in a second, what's the right slide? That's the purpose of governance, right? The purpose of governance is to scale collaboration by really formalizing the implicit norms and cultures. And what I mean by implicit norms and cultures is every project, whether it has written down governance or not, has governance, right? But it's implicit. It's in the culture. It's how you do things, right? Maybe it's like, you know, this person who like reviews pull requests, right? That's governance. It's not written down. Right, but if it's if there's a unwritten way of doing something, that is governance, right? And as you scale, as a project becomes bigger, what you want is to encode those so that they no longer are just implicit, but that they are explicit. That's also important because when you have explicit norms, they're the same for everyone, right? Whereas if they're implicit, like they're only those that know, and then the other ones are kind of lost, right? And it creates like some really unbalanced structure. And then, you know, that's the last bit, right? Is that you want to formalize it, right? You want to write it down in a way that is easy for everyone to understand and agree about what it means, right? And so, you know, those really are for me, the key things about governance, which is, again, happens when you need a scale. It is essentially encoding the existing practices so that they're the same for everyone and that everyone agrees about them. But, and I think that's super important, all of this like happens in a system of authority delegation. And I'm going to explain what I mean by this now. So when we write software, we tend not to think about all of these things. But there is a concept of delegation of authority that happens kind of regardless and of what, you know, of the fact that we don't like to think about it. And usually there is someone thinking about it, right? And I'm of the opinion that it is better when everyone actually thinks about these things, because then you don't have bad surprises down the road where someone was, you know, cunningly thinking about this while the rest of the community wasn't, right? So thinking about like who owns what and what authority it gives them and how they're delegating that authority to the community is really important. And you have, you know, so the thing is that we all live in countries that have legal frameworks. And in open source, this really materializes itself around copyright and licenses, trademarks, right? And to some degree, hopefully, very little degree, patents, right? But those are important, and actually who owns those and like how you know, that group, a person, a company, or nonprofit is allowing others to use or reuse these things matter quite a bit. And there's implicit delegation of authority that happens through this, right? Consider a project, you know, let's say the FUBAR project, right, that I create, right, and you'll contribute to it. Well, I own the FUBAR trademark, right? So you can't just go run around and say, and I own it by virtue of, I don't have to do anything specific, really, right? I own it by virtue of like having started the project, and the project name is kind of like I made it, right? So these things have an impact then down the road if I decide that, well, you know, I don't want your contributions anymore. You can fork the code through the license, right? But you can't use the name. That's an example, right? So these frameworks exist, whether they're, you know, explicit or implicit. You know, sometimes they're quite explicit, like you have a foundation that owns a bunch of things and it has like a, you know, a structure, and you see, oh, you know, there's a board and all of these things, and that's quite clear. But even, in the case where it's implicit, this still matters, right? And sometimes those, you know, the legal framework around it can be very, very simple, and sometimes it can be very, very complex. The example I was using when I made the talk the first time was OpenAI, because that was like fresh at the moment. And they had like this whole really like wild structure of like a for-profit, a foundation, and a whole bunch of things. At the end of the day, what really mattered was like who actually, and I'll get to this in a second, but who actually, the power was not the same on paper as it was in reality, right? So a few examples, right? Sort of like a very basic structure. You have the legal system, trademark law, your BDFL, who owns the trademark, whether, you know, they know it or not, right? That's how it works. And then, you know, delegates authority through like a governance.md file or whatever it is to a core team that then like, you know, continues to delegate that authority to the broader community through a contributing.md and a code of conduct, right? I mean, this is literally what's happening. We don't think of it that way, right? But this is really how
the world actually organizes the way we build software. So funny story is I'm like, I'm going to have to say this out. And then I was just like, wait, what does it stand for already? And so I'm going to, oh, maybe this is going to work out and no one's going to ask. And so I don't remember. I know what it means, but if someone can spell it out for me, that would be great.
Benevolent dictator for life.
Thank you. Benevolent dictator for life. Thank you for asking the question. And yes. I saw it, and I was just like, mild panic. Maybe it's going to go. It's going to work, but thank you. So if there's other acronyms, I'm sorry. Please do ask. And for those who know, like, please help me out. All right, so this is a much bigger sort of structure, right? Like a legal system, legation that creates a foundation, that allows you to have a foundation structure. That foundation has bylaws, an executive director, a board. Through a charter, it has like project leadership, and then like through those, all of these different files, you're sort of like delegating this authority further, right? This is a foundation of foundation structure, like CNCF, for example, right? It's like you have like a foundation and it has like a foundation project. Oh yeah, CNCF. Oh, cloud native computing foundation. TOC. I spelled it out right below. God, this is bad. You see how you have these complex structures. I mean, what I'm trying to like the takeaway of these things, right, is like. All of these different pieces that look like completely disjoint, right? Like a code of conduct or like a governance.md or something like this. They're all part of this system that actually starts in like legislation at the national and international level. And it all goes down. This is how it works, right? So I think it's super important to be aware of this because whenever things go really badly, and sometimes like they do, right? Like understanding like where you sit helps you make right decisions for you and your company and like the community and the project. All right, and so the last thing I want to say is governance is bounded, right? People talk about governance, and I'm here to tell you like governance happens in this place in the middle where people are willing to work together, right? There are places where people are telling you what to do, right? And that can be through legislation. You might have a board. You might have those social norms, right? For example, and then on the other side, it's like, well, you can also just like not be interested and leave, right? Like there's, if everyone leaves your project, this was the OpenAI situation, right? It's like if everyone leaves, you can like yell governance, governance, governance. Like there's no one that's listening to you, right? So essentially, like there is this small middle place between what people tell you to do and people being willing to work with you, right? That's like where we can work together, and this is where governance of open source projects happen, right? So it's really important to understand that if someone doesn't like it, and they can leave and like fork, right? And if everyone leaves, well, then whatever governance you've set up no longer matters. And then a bunch of examples in our communities in the past of things like this happening, right? So I think it's really important to remember governance happens in this bound, right? As long as there's, and the slides are available, by the way, if you want to dig a bit more into it. So essentially, like governance exists as long as there's willingness to collaborate, right? And I like to think of governance as the organization of willing collaboration, right? And if you're being unreasonable, people will leave. I think that's super important to remember. But that said, like you still, you can write all of the governance that you want. You still remain subject to the authority of entities that are above you, right? The law, et cetera. Those authorities, they might be like very explicit. It might be like a legal framework, but it also might just be like if you're being really annoying to like your core contributors, like they have authority over you, right? If you're being really annoying with a very large corporate member that actually is like funding a whole bunch of things, they can decide to just leave, right? So governance happens in that space. All right, so Key takeaways from part one, and I'm going to have to start hurrying up a little bit. So governance is the organization of willing collaboration, right? It's bounded by delegated authority and others' willingness to collaborate with you. It fits within an existing system. The point about it fitting in an existing system is just write the part of that, no, that part, right? You don't need to rewrite the whole of like European legislation to explain why trademarks, blah, 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 give you all of this stuff. You need to know what's there, but then just like write the governance that actually is where you actually have authority over something, right? Governance should be proportional to project's reach and complexity. Like, make it as simple as you can. I've never seen too little governance. I've seen like too much, like so many times. And as soon as there's too much governance, people just stop paying attention to it and make their own rules. And then you have like this complete disjoint, it's completely disjointed between like what is written and what people do, and that's really bad. It yields to, creates a really bad outcome. Aspirational governance, like people are just like, kind of disorganized, and they're kind of like, oh, we got to write this stuff of how it would be if we did it well, right? And that never works. Like, write what it is, and then bit by bit move to something better from there, but start by actually just saying what it is that you do. Last thing, and I think that's super important, you want to convey intent, right? Don't just write rules, right? Explain what you're trying to do with those rules. So important, right? Because down the road, even yourself, you'll be, why did I make this rule of like not do, X, Y, Z, right? Think of it as like comments in code. All right. An updated working definition for me is governance as the formalization of implicit norms and culture in order to scale willing collaboration, right? So I think this captures quite a lot of the things that we've talked about. That's for me like open source project governance. And then shorter and less formal, it's just governance is the organization of willing collaboration, right? This is what you essentially do to get people that want to contribute to something to work together well. All right, so now how do you actually do this concretely in a way that is as little painful as possible? Think about this for a second. Right? Right? But the good part of like this, right? The good part of governance is code that has to be interpreted by humans is that everything you know about writing good quality code like is even more relevant, right? You have like a squishy interpreter, right? And you have to be like super explicit about what you do, right? Code is essentially writing things for human beings, right? So should be fine. I'm going to talk about how do you write and maintain governance. I'm going to look at common issues, best coding practices as a solution to this. I've hinted at that already. A simple framework to get you started, and then some additional tips. And I think there's a bunch of examples in there too. So common issues you see in governance, and then the same as you see in code, right? Spaghetti code, copy-paste governance. Like the number of times I see governance for a project that's copied from a project that is structured completely differently and doesn't work at all. Like it's like so common, right? High coupling and low cohesion. Same thing, like everything is like kind of like stuck together in really weird ways. And like if you want to change anything, it's really, really hard because you have all of these like weird connections between things that are not explicit. And it generally ends up to be poorly structured because everyone kind of writes a bit here and there. And we don't have frameworks, right? Like when we write software, we usually tend to have like some form of framework and structure that we rely on. In governance, we don't. And so, this is kind of the goal of this is to give you like a basic framework. So of course, this leads in governance as it does in code to those horrible things. Maintenance nightmare, governance that's hard to modify and update, governance that's difficult to understand and follow, right? And then you also, as I was hinting at before, you start having two realities, right? What's on paper and what actually happens. None of those are desirable outcomes. Best coding practice is a solution, right? So every time you bump into something like this, just think about how you would do it in code, right? And you probably have a really good answer to this, right? So, simple framework to get you started, right? Like, limit yourself to these five kinds of documents. You handle the delegation of authority through charters, right? A charter is, you know, the board charters like the TSC to do these things, right? And it gives like scope of what the TSC can do. It creates accountability in return, right? And then I think something that's really important is you want to split policy and process, and you can call these different ways if you want, right? But essentially, policy is kind of like the what, right? What is it that you want to make sure happens a certain way or doesn't happen? And that can be kept like super high level, right? And then process, and I know these like names and terms sound like really might rub people in the wrong way, right? Process, policy, etc. That's what governance is about. I had to learn to deal with it, and I'm sure you can too, right? Like it's a little unpleasant at first, and then if you embrace it, it's fine. If you separate the what from the how, right? So if you separate the what is it that you're trying to organize from like how you do that, that's really good. Now I'll give quick examples of that. And then like the two extra things are guidelines, right? The idea of guidelines is sometimes there's a bunch of things that are very complicated, and a guideline helps address like a common use case, right? And then, you know, documentation for everything else, right? And so the way I think about these things, right, is a charter is kind of like your framework or your config file or like your main, right? So this is like where you run the whole thing, right? And then policy, think of it as like API, header files, typedefs, interfaces, depending on what language you come from, right? This is like you know, the function's gonna do this, right? And then process is like, that's where you write the actual implementation code. For me, like that, like entirely, once I found this, it's like everything started being so much easier. Right. And then, you know, think of guidelines as like, you know, the facade. I'm French. Okay, a nice CD here. I don't know how that happened. You know the facade pattern? You have like a complex domain model that's designed like, you know, very low level, and then like there's a common use case that you do all the time, right? And you just write an API for that. That's the facade pattern. High level APIs, right, on the web, like something that you can do just in HTML versus like writing like 20 lines of JavaScript, something like that, right? So think of guidelines as that. Super useful tool. And the last thing that's important, right, is like who owns what, right? And so essentially, think of it like there's an authority that delegates power to you, and you can delegate some of that power to like, say, like a dedicated working group or something, right? And so charter and policy, the delegating authority wants to own, right? And then the process, you want to keep it really close to the people who are actually doing the work, so they own it. Right, so that separation is also super useful to actually make things effective. Oh boy, I have to hurry up. All right, so how this works in practice, I'm gonna do that real quick. So, you know, you can have, examples, right? Moderation policy for GitHub, right? You write the policy about your goals for community moderation in general, right? Where you explain why this is important, etc. You charter a GitHub moderation group to handle it, right? And then that GitHub moderation group like figures out how to implement this in a way that makes sense for GitHub, right? And what's really nice, right, is that if you want to do the same thing for Discord, you don't have to rewrite a charter, you don't have to rewrite like a policy, right? It's just like now implementation for Discord, right? So that's super effective. All right, I'm going to rush for the last. I'm going to jump the examples. Bug triaging, same thing. You have the slides, you can look at it, and you can come ask questions. And so why is it good? High-level goals with the leadership, right? And you essentially empower the people who are doing the work to do it in the way that they want, right? The separation is really clearly articulated between both, and like this. You also have, you can have like really great conversations between folks because they know what they need to talk about. And in 26 seconds, I'm going to jump this. Yeah. So why is it good? Flexible, maintainable, and simple as a system, right? And I'm going to leave you with two additional tips about governance in general, right? Is like, don't think that engineering anything is going to save you from having hard conversations with human beings, right? You have to have those. And when you have to have those, call people up, right, and do it one-on-one. Don't, like, fix things in public or, like, in larger circles, right? And, yeah, sorry, rushed a little bit at the end. Hope that was useful. Slides will be online. And if you have any questions, come and talk to me. Thank you very much.